Welcome to Organizing with Ease with home organizers Deanna Mall and Zeenat Siman. This is where we talk about ways to make organizing easy so that we can enjoy our daily lives with less stress. And today I'm so happy to welcome Anita Carter, who is a retired therapist and behavioral coach with over 24 years experience. She has a certificate in NLP and of course her life experiences. Her mission is helping families who feel disconnected from each other. So she's the founder of Parenting DNA, which is focused on showing you how you can change your parenting DNA to rewrite the story of your parenting from the way your parents parented to you, and how to move beyond your parents' parenting style and follow your own style. She uses her first family system that you can then pass on to your children when they become parents. And parenting DNA is our environment, our lifestyle, and the things that we do. So thank you. A big welcome to you, Anita.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here, Zeenat. Thank you so much.
So right now we're in the midst of holiday prep. It's going to be, when we air this episode, it'll be mid-November, Thanksgiving, and then all the holidays, all until the end of the year. This is when we start to have family gatherings. This is when we get busy with the baking, the thinking of gifts, the planning for guests coming over. So how does this affect our mental state with our families and how we connect with each other?
Well, so first, I know that stress levels go up, right? And it becomes even more fast-paced in our families because the parents are preparing for the holidays, especially if they're going to be hosting them. So one of the biggest things is the communication, and preparing our messages when we're talking to each other, thinking them through before we say something is a big plus. Okay. Because then...
And have you found... So I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
But have you found... So like we're in the middle of the holidays. Is this like a prime time for family conflicts to come up? I mean, we all know the movies when, around the big table, there are fights across the table.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the stress is so high and the parents' body language and their energy does reflect the relationships around them with their children. Okay. So the kids tensed up too, because they see the parents are tensed up. Or they're arguing, or they're in a disagreement, or they're stressing because they're like, oh my God, it didn't come in and it was supposed to come in. It was supposed to be delivered today or whatever. The kids read us and they watch us and they hear us. Like, that's why that old saying is, little ones have big ears.
Oh yeah. Because
they are,
they hear,
yeah,
listening,
they're,
all the time.
Yeah, they're listening. So I know that for me and for clients that I've worked with for over 24 years, the biggest thing that they found was when they're trying to get things accomplished and prepare and get things done so that they can relax for the day or whatever, they didn't realize their little ones needed their attention, and they would come and want to nug at them, or they would come to them if they were a little older and say, hey, mom, I got something to say. I got something at school going on, mom, or dad or grandma or whoever's rearing the child at the time, they would be like, okay, give me a minute. Okay, give me a minute.
Right. Oh, I'm guilty of that. Give me a minute.
But that's where we have to stop as the adult and know that, yes, we're stressed and we've got things going on, but we also don't want to stress the whole family. We don't want to stress our kids.
Okay. And so do you work primarily with parents, or do you also work with children on how they can, work on their communication styles to talk to their parents?
So I work with both. So I will work with the child, and then I work with the parent, and then I work with them as a family.
Oh, okay.
So whatever I'm teaching the child, I'll teach the parent, and whatever I'm teaching the parent, I'll teach the child. And then when we have our family sessions, we talk about it. And that's when I give them the opportunity to have a voice, children, especially. Okay. Because us as adults, we want to be that authoritative figure.
Right.
Because that's how we were reared.
Right.
It's our way or no way, but that's not how the generations have changed over years.
Yes.
And we need to also change and go with what is more effective and positive for us within our relationships, within our home.
To make a positive environment at home.
Yes, to make that environment loving and fun and engaging.
It's, right. Again. Especially during the holidays, which is supposed to be this really fantastic, fun time with all of us together.
And it's okay for us to be vulnerable. And that's the thing. Why is it so hard for us as adults to say we made a mistake and not
to our kids,
our children, or be vulnerable to tell them how we feel?
Yeah.
I'm stressed right now. You need to just leave me alone. Give me some moments or whatever. It's okay for us to say, you know what? Mom's having a rough moment right now and I'm getting ready to cry. So if you just give me a minute. So I'm going to go to my room. I'll come back. We could talk about it, you know? Or if your kids are, and you're in that moment, you could still also add, like, I'd like to hear more about what you want to talk to me about, but right now I need the moment.
I'd like to hear more about what you want to talk to me about, but just give me a minute.
Yeah.
I remember reading a number of years ago, probably in some article, I don't even remember, some magazine article. And this particular mom was saying, you know, when I come home, it's either a babysitter is at home with my kids or my husband is at home with the kids. We as moms would come home from work and feel like, okay, now I got to take everything over. Now it's my responsibility because now I'm home from work. And she said, after, you know, years of doing this, you know, as soon as she came home, she took over, babysitter left, her husband went to do his thing, and she was in charge of the kids and the meals and the this and the that. But she took that responsibility on herself. And she said there was a lot of yelling at her kids happening after school, because this is what happened when she came home. She was so stressed about not decompressing from being at work and then just taking on all the home responsibilities. And she realized that what she decided to do then was to take 20 minutes. When she came home, she said hi to everyone. But then she quickly made it her routine to take a cup of tea or something to drink or whatever, go to her room, 20 minutes to get changed, to kind of shift from work mode to, okay, I'm at home mode. And just that 20 minutes made her a more friendly person in the kitchen with her kids. You know, she was more patient. She was able to, you know, get the things on that she needed to take on. I like that idea that we don't have to take on the responsibility as soon as we get home. If we have the option, take a few minutes to yourself, even if it's out in the car.
Yeah.
Just sit there for a few minutes in the car, relax before you come inside and and deal with everything.
Yeah. And if you already have somebody that's there to support you already, that's doing the mom stuff, it's okay to come through the door and say, hey, mom's home, or hey, dad's home. I'm going to go change. Give me a few minutes. I'll be back, you know?
Yeah.
Because again, the more that we express what our needs are for us to be able to be present for them, they're going to know that, and they're going to learn how to do it themselves.
Wow. And so do you find, after working with the kids in this way for a while, that they also start to use that language?
Yeah.
I want to hear more about that, mom. Hang on a second. I just got to do something. I'll be right back and we can talk.
Yeah. Or sometimes I've told the younger ones, you know, if you see that mom or dad are stressed, or grandma or great aunt or whoever is rearing the child, if you see that they're upset and they're stressing, just put your hand on their shoulder if they're sitting. And if not, put your hand on their hand so that they know you want their attention. So we made that as a way for them to communicate. That was something that we did in family sessions, is what's a way that we can give each other the awareness, become aware that the child needs to talk to you, or you need to talk to the child, instead of the screaming and the yelling and the negative talk, like, damn it, I told you to come here, or I need that, why didn't you come? Or, you know, because that just raises our stress and it just raises the tension. And then it belittles our children, believe it or not, because then they don't think they're doing anything right. Yeah. And it belittles you as a parent, because then they don't look at you as that's a person they can come to when they're having a moment. Right. So it's really important for us to look at ways, like think about preparing your message, be emotional when you need to be emotional with your child, give your emotions names because they don't know all the names. So if you're feeling rage, tell them what rage means, you know, let them know, talk about it because that adds to their vocabulary. And then they know when they're having that moment, that that's something that might be. It might be their anger. It might be sadness. It might be depression. Whatever words you use for that emotion for you, add it to your child's vocabulary. Mm-hmm. Because if they don't know the word, they can't relate their emotion.
Yeah. Yes.
And I really feel that also when our stress level is up, we tend to bring back old stuff that was already talked about or done.
Oh, yes.
And that comes up more during the holidays. Remember last week I told you that you were supposed to make your room or do your thing or whatever. Right. Okay. No, that's just adding to the stress in the home during the holidays.
And it's unfair. It's unfair.
Yeah. It's unfair because then you're right there. You've made it where your child and you are done communicating. And we want that. We want to build those communication walls. We don't want to build them where they can't come through them. We want the walls to come down. Want to build the walls so that they can't come to us. Yeah. So if we communicate and watch the positive way and the negative way, and especially during the holidays, make a list as a family during a family meeting, put it on the books, and then say, okay, during this week, this is what we're going to all do. Yeah. That lessens the stress because everybody has a responsibility. They have awareness of their responsibility. The parent knows what they're going to do. It lessens, especially during the time when it's officially the holiday, like Christmas, Thanksgiving, and that moment is there. You already know, okay, this is the time that we're going to have our setup. This is the time I'm going to start dinner. This is the time that we're all going to sit and eat at the dinner table.
And you're right. If you don't tell them, how are they supposed to know that?
Oh, this is my thing. This is the time we're all going to open up our presents at Christmas time.
Right.
Because the more you engage as a family and you talk about it and you have it in writing, if you want to, or on a board in your, in your refrigerator or whatever, who's doing what, what's your role while the holidays are happening, or even every day. That's why our children get chores, is so that we can teach them how to be more responsible and become more responsible and be able to take care for themselves when they're out there in the real world, because mama and daddy aren't going to be there all the time.
Right.
Oh, you know, and showing them, the biggest thing is for us to communicate in a way that we're all communicating together as a family. Lessens the stress.
So I think about, I totally agree with you. And I think about the right now, especially with teenagers, that end of year is stressful for us because of the holidays and the preparation. And maybe we have family coming over, maybe you have friends coming over, and you're trying to host a meal, you have to cook something to take to someone's meal. Our kids, our teenagers, are still dealing with schoolwork, homework, practices. They have exams in a couple of weeks. We're having Thanksgiving and they're thinking about exams. All that is building stress in their minds as well. It's not just the holidays. It's everything that's happening.
Yeah. And that's why having those conversations at the dinner table, like being aware, asking, okay, so any, you know, for any of your, all your kids, any age group, whether it's kindergarten up to high school, any of you guys got any specific projects due for school right now? what, you know, is there a way that we can move our chores around just so you, it helps you, so
that
you
can get it done? That. Wow.
You know, those kinds of things. What could we do as a family that can get you so that it's not so overwhelming or stress for you?
Okay. So you mentioned we can talk to our kids. We can say, I'd like to hear more about that, but I need a minute. Your kids can tell you the same general yes. thing. If maybe they're too emotional to talk about it right now, give me a minute. I'll be right back. We've talked about conflict. Let's talk about the current conflict. Let's not bring up a history, years of conflict when we're having a discussion about something. And then how else can we manage what's going on during the holidays? You mentioned chores. I think we all, as parents, we're clear about what the chores are. Let's say you had, whether it's a family meeting or you're sitting at breakfast and you say, okay, remember this afternoon, you have to walk the dog and don't forget to take out the garbage and da, 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 da. And in the afternoon, if they don't do that immediately, we're kind of like, they didn't do it. Why didn't they do it? They didn't do it right away when they came home from school. Da, da, da. And we start to say, you didn't, why didn't you take out the garbage? Why didn't you?
Man, so that's when your stress level is going up because you know that there's a routine we're supposed to follow. Okay. So as a parent, all we can do is say, hey, just a friendly reminder, did everybody get their stuff done for the day at the house? Instead of, you didn't take the garbage out, because right there is now their guards up and you're up here with your... Right.
And then it becomes all negative. And the rest of the night is negative.
Yes. And so it's just like a friendly reminder. I call them friendly reminders. And remember, there's something else that I found through the years and through my own experiences is that parents feel like when the kids do something that's not what we want, that we wanted them to do, our expectations. If our expectations aren't flexible, we're going to have conflicts. Yeah. You're going to have them anyway in your family. It's bound to happen, yeah. But we can be flexible and we can also be flexible with our reminders. I call them reminders instead of consequences, because that's so negative. I call it a reminder. So do we need to give them a reminder that moment? No, sometimes it's good for us to delay that.
Okay.
We're
okay.
Calm and they're calm. Because then you're not giving a harsher reminder for something that might have been minor, and you gave it a harsher reminder because your emotions were like out there.
So and then we've just created a bigger.
Yeah. So yeah. We have to be flexible as parents, because if we show that flexibility too, our kids learn to be flexible during their times and their issues, their emotions, the more we communicate by the way we handle it, the more we're teaching our children how to handle it.
So these are three tools that we can use, right? So the using the words, I'd like to hear more, but just give me a minute. The one problem at a time, let me not bring up everything from history.
Yep.
The flexible expectations and reminders, not consequences.
Yes.
So as we go from now through the end of the year, our stress levels are going to rise. Let's remember these three tools that we can use. Thank you
yes.
so much.
And make sure that you guys talk about it. Like, yes. It's okay for us parents to not always have the answer or not always be able to handle everything. And we're not perfect. There is no such thing as a perfect person or a parent. There's no manuals for parenting. There's nothing. So we have to learn to do it that fits us and our family in the moment. And the only way we can do that is if we look at how did we feel when our parents were doing the same thing to us when we were kids. What was our emotions? What did we feel? Because that's exactly how our child might be feeling.
Right, right. Ah, thank you. So good, so powerful. Thank you. So you've been doing this for 24 years. What made you decide to start Parenting DNA?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm going to be a little vulnerable. So when you guys have those homework times with your kids and everything, right? During the homework time, yeah. I struggled with that. I was a teenage mom and a teenage wife, and I was illiterate, believe it or not. I did not really get, I went back to school when I found out that one day I don't even remember the day or the reason, but I remember screaming at the top of my lungs at my kids. And that's when I realized, because they wanted me to help them with their homework. And I was illiterate. And they didn't know that, because as they were getting older, they were getting homework because they're in school now, right? When they were little, I didn't have to worry about it.
No problem.
But I started realizing that I was avoiding being in my home during those hours. I would take extra hours in a blue collar job just so I didn't have to be there during that time. And I realized my connection with my kids was not there. And that made me realize that I took myself to the community college and I told them that I was illiterate and I needed to be tested. And so they tested me. I was in my late 20s at that point, and my kids were already in third grade, fourth grade, second grade, because they're like almost three years apart.
Okay.
And yeah, I realized that day. And then I sat down with my kids when I came back and realized where my education level was. And I was emotional and I cried and I let them know. And I explained to them why mom wasn't there for their homework time or other times when they wanted me to read books for them at night. I would just tell them stories. I made that connection with them there, but to read a book when they grab it and say, mom, read this to us or whatever, that was so hard for me. And I realized it. And I fought with myself even harder because I was embarrassed. I had a lot of shame and embarrassment. And I let that control my life instead of me controlling my life and going and asking for the help. And once I did, my life changed. And that's when I realized I talked with my kids. Even though they were young, I sat and I talked with them. I cried. I showed them my emotions. I let them know that I didn't know how to read and that I didn't, you know, and it was hard for me to read to them because I didn't know how. Right. And then from that point on, we did our homework together.
Oh.
And my kids would help me because there were times that I didn't know because they were educated.
Right. Right.
So that's what told me to get into learning more about improving my parenting. And I would go to different, you know, stores and buy the books and do the cassettes. They were cassettes back then.
Yes.
And put them in the cassette player and listen to them and do, you know, whatever it took. And so my kids watched me grow in my education at the same time that they were growing in their education. So we made that connection again. And I had my issues with my kids and my parenting, even though I was doing all the parenting, trying to improve or whatever. So all those experiences were for a reason, because it put me where I was in my business as a contractor for 24 years, helping other families so that they didn't have to go through the same hole that I went through.
Yeah.
So a lot of my stuff was from my own personal experiences that helped me create what I have today. And with those families that I worked with for over 24 years, their kids and them added to something to my creation, because I learned something new every day. And I still do with whoever I make that contact with, whether it's a friend or a parent in the street or whatever. Like, I had a garage sale this weekend and a parent came and she was talking to me about, you know, her ADHD child. And I was like, oh, well, here's what you can do. Here's some suggestions or whatever. And she's like, how do you know this? And I go, well, you know, I'm a retired therapist.
This is what I do.
Plus my child was severe ADHD. So I gave her a book that I had, an extra one. And she was like, oh my God, this is so amazing. I could pay you for it. I go, no, it's okay.
She came to your garage sale and she left with, I guess.
Yes. And I'm a giver. I'm a helper. That it's not always about a profit. It's about you sharing the knowledge and what you have for those that need that in the moment. And that's what my biggest thing is. That's why I want to get out there to help these families that are losing that connection, because I know how it feels. And when our kids get older, it's harder to reconnect. It gets harder. Mm-hmm. So we need to stay connected now when they're younger. That's and true. Even when they're older, especially teenagers, we need to figure out a way to reconnect with them on the interest and the level that they're at. Right. And it's okay for us to be flexible for that moment at that time.
Wow.
If we want that relationship.
Yes. Yes. And so now you're a grandma.
Yes. I'm a grandma of 10 and a great grandma of 2 now.
Wow. Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness. So are you finding that your kids and your grandkids, that you're seeing them use some of these strategies, some of these tools with their kids?
Absolutely. So my oldest son lives here. My younger son lives in Wisconsin.
Okay.
So I don't see my 3 granddaughters that much, but we make a lot of, you know, calls.
Yeah.
But, my son here, he'll tell my grandkids, because they're learning things from me over the years since they've been born, because I've learned and I've grown as a parent, grandparent. And they're like, I just want you to know, this isn't the same mom I grew up with.
She's different now.
Yeah. And I go, it's a good thing, right?
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing. He goes,
lifelong learning.
Yeah. He goes, it is, mom, but I wish I would have had this mom. And I go, but you have this mom now. And he goes, and I go, okay, well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about all the horror that I must have put you through as a kid. And let's clear it up and let you feel better about
going.
It, you know? Yeah. And he goes, I'm just kidding, mom. I'm just saying, I see the growth, mom, and I love it. And he's using things too. Like, I brought in at dinner time, the highs and the lows for the day. And each one of us had the opportunity to say what ours was for the day.
Love that.
Yeah. That opens up the conversation at the table for everyone. Well, my grandkids do it. And once in a while, he forgets and he doesn't want to do it because he's just wanting to eat and relax.
And keep going. Right, right.
And the kids are like, no, we got to do our highs and lows, Dad. Aww. We got to do our highs and lows. So,
that's fantastic.
There's things, you know, and so there's a lot that we can do that we can learn from our kids, from ourselves, just to grow, to improve the person we want to be, that we want our kids to be. Yes. Because we're their role models, believe it or not. We're their role model.
And they're going to be parents at some point, let's say, if they decide.
Yeah.
They're going to be parents.
And I know that I took on a lot of my parents' stuff and my grandparents and my because that's how I was reared. But I realized I wasn't going to hit my kids like my dad hit me, you know. Did I do it at first? I absolutely did. I'm not going to lie. But I realized that wasn't helping my kids.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So, and then when I did realize it, I didn't do it anymore. So I improved that, something that I love what my parents did, their knowledge they have, what they gave us when they were rearing us. But there were some things that I didn't want to take on and I'm not going to take on.
Right.
You know, but you do it in the moment because you learn.
That's what you know.
You've learned.
Right.
And that's why I say parenting DNA isn't about just blood. It's about what we've learned in our environment, what we've taken in, and how we can change it. It doesn't mean that has to be our same parenting style.
So good. Wow. So Anita, if people want to find you, if our listeners want to find you online, how can they get in touch with you? How can they find you?
So I have a group. It's called Successful Parenting DNA. It's a Facebook group.
Okay.
And you just look that up, Successful Parenting DNA. I'm also on LinkedIn as Anita Carter, founder of Parenting DNA.
I'm going to put both of those links on our show notes. And also, you have a free gift that you can share with our listeners. Yes?
Yes. It is 3 ways to communicate with your child.
Oh, excellent. Perfect.
Simple. 3 simple ways to communicate with your child.
Even better, because at this point in time, we're all in the thick of things, holidays. Yes. So even better. So we will put that link also in the show notes so that everybody can go there and download that.
Yes.
And also all your contact information as well. Thank you again so much for being with us. This has been fantastic. And I know that these are very specific tools that we can use now through the end of the year and beyond. So thank
you. Yes. Thank you. I'm so honored. I hope that it was helpful and people can take an insight to that we're not perfect parents and it's okay for us to make mistakes.
It is. And we're learning from those mistakes. Yes.
Yes. And our kids see that, so then they'll learn.
Yep. Well, this has been Organizing with Ease with Deanna Mall and Zeenat Siman. Thank you so much for listening. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review. We would love to hear from you. Until next week.
Thank you.